Hello and welcome to the Friday, January 11th, 2013 edition of the Santander Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm today recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Well, who would have thought? Java is in the news again. This time, a Saturday, or an unpatched exploit against Java version 7 update 10. So the latest version of Java is vulnerable. This vulnerability allows a bypass of the Java Security Manager, which essentially allows the Java applet to grant itself permission to execute arbitrary code. And an attacker, of course, could use this to then execute arbitrary code on the system, not being restricted by the Java sandbox. Now, as of Java 7 update 10, there is the ability to limit whether or not a web browser will automatically launch a Java applet, and at a minimum, it is recommended to use this feature to not launch Java automatically. There are a couple of options here. You can limit yourself to signed application or just prevent all applications from automatically starting up. I would recommend the second because probably signing an application is still possible even though the application is malicious because there is no real review of an application that is signed. Given the ongoing issues with Java, of course, it is perfectly reasonable to question whether or not Java should be installed in the first place, but there are still plenty of business applications that do require Java. Now, this affects really only Java running on the client in the browser, has nothing to do with Java server pages, applets on the servers and such, so it's really more a client issue that this vulnerability would affect. And to make things worse, this vulnerability, apparently according to Brian Grebs' blog, has already been included in the black hole exploit, so expect this to be in pretty wide use by now. Well, Rob published an follow-on to yesterday's diary about Telnet and other services on mainframe. This time, Telnet asks what other systems are running it, and what he found was that video conferencing software is using Telnet S, and it is frequently insufficiently secured. In this case, he was able to log in without credentials, gain a lot of more information about the system, and then discover an unprotected HTTP portal that could be used to more simply achieve admin functions and further compromise this particular voice over IP and video conferencing system. H.D. Moore, not too long ago, did a large scan for video conferencing system and also found that many of them are insufficiently secured, in particular since it's not always easy or possible to apply effective firewall rules, given that video conferencing in particular requires a large number of open ports and is not easily restricted using a normal network firewall. And then we got a little bit an older news item. Actually, it's from Tuesday, about another kink in the armor of NTLM. The reason I haven't really covered that much so far is that NTLM, well, there's so many kinks in its armor, it should no longer really be used. But as this particular blog post points out, indeed, it is still pretty widely used. The problem here is the authentication hash. Now, NTLM essentially passes the authentication hash that is used to authenticate to a system. The authentication hash itself has to be protected because just knowledge of the hash allows for the famous pass the hash attack. The authentication hash is split and encrypted, but because it uses essentially the same algorithm to do so as MSChap version 2, which is essentially splitting it into 7 bytes and using DES encryption and MD4 message digest, it's not that terribly hard to actually decrypt it. In particular, Last year, Moxie Marlinspike wrote a Cloudcracker, a system to effectively and efficiently break MS Chav version 2. Well, this has now been applied to NTLM and the hash has been retrieved with a reasonable effort. So yet another reason to not use NTLM, as the handshake can be observed on the wire, and then of course if I can derive the authentication hash, I can use that authentication hash to authenticate to a system. And then two quick items. There's also a critical vulnerability in the Foxit PDF reader. A lot of users switch to that in order to avoid some of the Adobe issues. Turns out that Foxit isn't necessarily that much more secure. And users of Google's Chrome browser, there is a new update out that fixes about 20 security flaws, Chrome 24. As announced earlier, we switched our monthly thread update to a new format and made that live earlier today. Part one is the usual discussion of Microsoft's bulletins. Part two is a hands-on walkthrough on securing OS X. So if you're an OS X user, you can pretty much watch that and apply the settings as I'll discuss them in this video. The URLs to the video are available in the diary as well as from the podcast pages. Audio-only versions are available as well. Well, thanks for listening and talk to you again on Monday. Bye.